This is Central Time. I'm Rob Parra.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Emergency responders in Madison say they've seen a 300% increase in how many times they've had to administer Narcan from January to March. Narcan's a medication given to revive someone experiencing a heroin overdose. Officials say they've already given Narcan 61 times this month, compared to only 14 times last April.
One group working to address the heroin epidemic is the CARE program in Sauk City and Prairie du Sac. Dr. John McCullough joins us now to explain what the CARE program is. He's medical director of Sauk Prairie Health Systems, a family practice doctor, and the medical coordinator for the CARE program. Dr. McCullough, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, tell us, what is the CARE program?
The CARE program really stands for Community Activated Recovery Enhancement, and it's a way to address the heroin issue within our community and taking sort of a community approach to that whole issue.
And how do patients find you, or how does the CARE program find patients? How is that connection made?
Yeah, well, basically, people enter the program three different ways. Number one, through the jail. Basically, if they've been incarcerated because of an opiate issue, they then can, upon being released from the jail, perhaps get through BadgerCare, get the Vivitrol shot, and that's their form of entry. They also can enter through the drug court that we have established within the past month or so within our community. And then they can self-refer, and we have several patients that have done it that way.
And you mentioned that Vivitrol shot, and I wanted to ask you about that. That seems like a key part of the program. What is this medication, Vivitrol?
Yeah, it's definitely a key part of it, and it sort of goes back to the notion of, or the idea that really addiction is a disease, and this is a medicine basically that gets control of the addiction part of it. It helps the craving, reduce the craving part, and so that is essentially the first thing that we really need to do, is to get a person the addiction part under control. And the naltrexone, that's also the Vivitrol, is a way for us to do that. And once we get that part of it under control, then we start to do the wraparound program, the psychosocial stuff, to get that also in order.
I think people might be familiar with something like methadone, which I understand it is a different kind of opioid to act as a replacement. This is a completely different approach, this Vivitrol, right?
This is an approach that's totally opiate-free. In other words, you probably have heard of methadone and Suboxone, but this is without any opiates. You know, the disease, again, that we're talking about is opiate addiction, and so this enables us really to get rid of the opiates completely. As a matter of fact, before we can get a person on naltrexone, we have to withdraw them. And that's where the jail has been actually some benefit to that whole issue, is that while they're in the jail, we can withdraw them, and then we can get them on the naltrexone.
And this says something about the nature of opioid addictions, doesn't it? I think people looking in from the outside might say, well, these are weak-willed people. They don't have the willpower to kick the heroin, the opioids. It's just not that easy, is it, to do it without some kind of help?
That's a critical, critical distinction to make. When they have choices, granted, all of our brains are sort of wired. When we, first experiment with drugs and stuff, that matter, there is a choice. But once the disease of addiction sets in, the choice is gone. It's really, I use the metaphor, if you were to take a breath in and let it out, and take another breath in and let it out, and take a third breath in and let it out, and now don't breathe. My telling you not to breathe is like my telling you not to use heroin. You are going to go there. I guarantee it. And that's where the naltrexone blocks that. And so people can take that breath. They can start to get their life back together. And it's been really amazing to watch these people really transform once they get on the naltrexone and once they get other things, get their life back together.
What is the cost of this naltrexone or Vivitrol, and how does it compare to the costs of addiction going untreated?
Oh, I mean, the cost to society for addiction untreated, we can't even begin to know the true cost of all that. But just for instance, and this is one aspect of it, our jails, like in Sauk County, 60% of the people who are in jail are there for opiate reasons. They've broken the law for that reason. It takes $35,000 to maintain a person in jail for 1 year. And that alone, and then a habit, if you're addicted, to maintain a habit every day is $100 to $200 a day. Well, these people aren't working, and so that has to come from someplace. And so, again, those costs just get amped up over time. The actual cost for the shot itself is about $1,200 a month, and we give the shot each month.
Money well spent, you'd say.
Oh, absolutely. There's just no comparison. I mean, that's, you know, when you talk, like I say, cost to society, let alone death. And, you know, within the state just last year, we had 509 deaths. Within our county alone, we had 9 deaths and 69 saves from Narcan. I've heard about that, too. That's what we use right away if there is an overdose to save a life. And then we gradually, once we get them through withdrawal, get them on the naltrexone, the shot.
Talking to Dr. John McAuliffe, Medical Director of the Sauk Prairie Health Systems, talking about the CARE program aimed at ending addiction to opioids. You mentioned that the Vivitrol, the medication, is just part one. What happens next when somebody has withdrawn from opioids, used the Vivitrol? What else happens in the program?
And then what we do is we have an assessment to say if there are any other comorbidities. You know, is there bipolar issues? Are there mood disorders? Are there attention deficit issues, stuff of that nature, and address those issues at the same time that you have the addiction under control, because your ability really to deal with those issues is virtually nil if the addiction is still active. And so, again, that's where the naltrexone helps us do that. And, you know, the more I do this, the more I'm convinced the brain actually does want to get better, and these people actually do change from month to month to month, and it's very rewarding to see that. And the more I practice this, the more I am convinced that the naltrexone is to the addict as insulin is to the diabetic. You know, and the addict tells me that each and every day. They just say, with a naltrexone, I can function. Without it, it's difficult.
If somebody's on the naltrexone, is it something that they're going to be taking for the rest of their lives?
Right now, the program, there isn't a lot of data to say what we do after a year, but right now they sign up for a year of the program. And that seems to be about how long it takes for sort of the circuitry within our brain to sort of get reestablished. And that circuitry is, you know, how we make decisions, you know, what motivates us and all that. That's really hardwired. And that, during addiction, is lost. And so it appears to take about a year to get that back. But I think over time, though, we'll get more of a handle on just how long it actually they need to be on naltrexone.
But working with these patients so far, you're seeing, it sounds like, success stories that you wouldn't have seen before doing something like this.
You know, before 2 years ago, before I started doing this, I, you know, in all honesty, I really was not necessarily all that optimistic with what we were doing. But this has changed it. This is really, truly a game changer. So I see it consistently, and it's just not in, you know, one person this way, another person that way. It seems to really get them off on the right start.
You mentioned that the patients tend to come either from the jails or a drug court. Could somebody just self-refer, say,
yep,
hey, I'm an addict, I need help?
Yeah, about a third of our people are self-referred.
Now, this program started in Sauk Prairie, the Sauk City, Prairie du Sac area. Is it being replicated or expanded in other communities?
We do have a federal grant, actually, that is helping us do that. And so what we've done is we've set up a program where we divided the county in quadrants, and then we go out and actually, if there is an overdose or in the emergency room or something of some place, we go out and we have a resource person that goes out and contacts those people. And then if they need to go through withdrawal, we have a nurse that will help that withdrawal process. And then we have to do the prior authorization process to get the Vivitrol shot paid for. And then that's how they get started. And once they're started on the Vivitrol, then, like I say, we can do the wraparound program, and that's where we have people that can actually do an assessment for these other comorbidities. And our goal is to develop a model that can be used in communities. And this year we're in Sauk. Next year we'll be going to Columbia County. And then the following year we're going to go to Richland County. So we're trying to create a model that can be propagated throughout the state. That's our goal.
This is an issue that people are talking about at every level. The state legislature has been working on this. Our attorney general in Wisconsin, we're also hearing, you know, the president and Congress, our U.S. senators talking about this. Are you getting lots of visitors there, lots of attention, people hoping to find something that's going to turn the tide?
Absolutely. That points out a critical thing. I mean, we have to attack this problem from many different areas. I mean, in the medical society, we need to, you know, be doing certain things. We need to modify how we're treating chronic pain, for instance. And the CDC has recently come out with new guidelines suggesting how we do that. The state is very much involved, very supportive with the HOPE program up north, and is a similar program that's trying to address it. So it's being attacked from many different problems. And, of course, like any other disease, it's still relies on prevention, and that's where we're doing it also, going into the schools and trying to do what we can to create a whole nother awareness there. But I really think, you know, as the paradigm changes, it has to really sort of settle around the idea that this is a disease. And it's a disease, it's a chronic disease of the brain that affects the circuitry of the brain. And once you start to do that, you take the whole judgment part of it away. And then you can really start to be more effective in dealing with this whole problem. And that's, I think, is starting to happen within our society. And that's I think, going to be a very positive influence.
Dr. McAuliffe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. John McAuliffe, Medical Director of Sauk Prairie Health Systems, Family Practice Doctor, and Medical Coordinator for the CARE Program. He joins to talk about the CARE Program, an effort to help people break their addiction to heroin.